Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Bring it up, Rick. Good beat to send us off. Final hour of the show here.
Yeah.
Final hour of the week here on You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network. Nick Costos along with Mark Melusis in for Ken Barkley. Cody Decker is going to join us in 20 minutes here to talk Major League Baseball. We'll find out what our great crew is up to this weekend when we tickle fancies in the final segment of the show. But right now we spend some time with our good friend, Pete Prisco, who does an outstanding job covering the NFL for CBS Sports. You read his work on CBSSports.com. You watch him on CBS Sports HQ, and he is very entertaining on Twitter when he's either, you know, dispensing pearls of wisdom about the NFL or blocking fools at Prisco CBS. Pete, welcome back to You Better You Bet. It's Nick Costos and Mark Melusis here on a Friday. How are we feeling, man, less than 3 weeks away from the NFL draft?
Yeah, I'm ready for it to be over with, I'll be honest with you. Look, I love the draft. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I enjoy diving into all the draft prospects and trying to figure out what these teams are going to do. But, you know, it comes almost at the end of the entire football season. So it starts wearing on you. I spent all day watching tape today. I'm working on my team of players who I like better than the scouts that I do every year. And so, I'm looking forward to the draft, I'll be honest with you.
You know, Pete, with that being said, there are a lot of rumors out there. Let's start in New York with the Jets. You think there's really any kind of debate? Everyone believes they're taking Zach Wilson with the second overall pick, the quarterback at a BYU. Are you buying into that? Do you think that there's even a thought process of going someplace else if you're Joe Douglas?
No, it's definitely Wilson. And look, Wilson's an intriguing guy. And the more you talk to people, the more tape you watch, you come away saying, wow, he makes some throws that go wow every time you see him make them. I mean, he's an incredible athlete, an incredible guy who can throw the football. He's got the big arm. Again, though, he's not a big guy. And when you talk to some teams and some personnel guys, there is some concern about whether he can hold up. And I'm not talking about height. I'm talking about his frame. He's not, you know, because we've seen a lot of smallish quarterbacks, Drew Brees being one, Russell Wilson being another, but they're both kind of thick guys. He's not. And so that's the one concern on it, but I do think the Jets will take him.
Zach Wilson, the overwhelming favorite to be selected with the second overall pick. Minus 2,000, Justin Fields up next at plus 1,600. Pete, we go to the third overall pick in the draft, and we know San Francisco traded, you know, three first-round picks, including this year's, right, to move up to number three, where they will presumably take a quarterback. And I guess conventional wisdom would be that it would be Justin Fields, but all the reports out there say it's going to be Mac Jones. Who? Mac Jones, which seems like unbelievable to me. Jones is a massive favorite right now in betting markets. Minus 305 right now to go third overall. Fields plus 250. Trey Lance plus 400. Like, you're as plugged in as anybody. What are you hearing here about San Francisco? Are they really going to trade all that draft capital to take Alabama's Mac Jones at third overall?
Look, when you talk to people in the league, they think it's going to be Mac Jones. But then they always preface it by saying, well, we think that, but it shouldn't be. And the reason they say that is they don't think that Mac Jones is worth being taken at number three overall and giving up two first-round picks to go up and do it. I've talked to one GM who has a third-round grade on Mac Jones, another one who has a second. I've talked to quarterback coaches who think he's a second-round pick. I've talked to a couple guys, other coaches at other positions, who think he should be drafted at the back end of the first round. And where was he in January? That's the whole process. I don't get it. And I'm talking about after his season was done. Did anybody sit there at that time after watching an entire season and say, Mac Jones should be the top third, should be the third overall pick and the third quarterback taken? No, nobody said that. But once it gets out there now that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch might be considering it, everybody's buying in. Oh, well, here we go. If they believe it, then he is the third best quarterback. I don't buy it. I've watched Mac Jones closely. He's a Jacksonville kid. I lived in Jacksonville for a long time. He's a good quarterback. He's an accurate quarterback. But there are limitations to his game. And as one guy told me today when I was talking to him, the defensive ends in that league, they're going to make you move. And can he move and can he throw on the run? That's going to be a big problem, I think.
Well, Pete, if it's not Mac third overall, do you think it's Fields or do you think it's Lance?
I think it's Fields. And I think the upside and the ceiling for Fields is much greater than what it is for Mac Jones. If you're taking Mac Jones, you're taking safe. You're taking, look, I'm the coach here. I can make it work with whoever plays quarterback for me, which is not unlike what they've done in the past. If you're taking Fields, you're taking a chance, a little bit more of a chance on a guy who's going to be a superstar. And for me, as it relates to the quarterback position, I'm going with the guy who's got a chance to be a superstar because I think you want that upside. All this talk about Justin Fields doesn't get off his first read, not true. Justin Fields hasn't played a lot of football. You know, people say, oh, Mac Jones hasn't started a lot of games. Well, neither is Justin Fields. He's kind of learning the position. He had a lot of good players at Ohio State, just like Mac Jones did at Alabama. But I think I really believe that Justin Fields has the higher upside, which is why I would take Fields.
You better, you bet. BetQL Audio Network. Nick Costos, Mark Lucas on a Friday chatting NFL draft with the great Pete Prisco from CBS Sports. Pete, we know in one way or another, by hook or by crook, we're going to see quarterbacks go picks 1 through 3, right? With Jacksonville, the Jets, and the aforementioned San Francisco 49ers. So it's like the draft almost starts, right, at number 4 with Atlanta. And we could see the Falcons doing a number of things, including trading back. What are you hearing about Atlanta and the most likely move that they make here with new head coach Arthur Smith?
Well, I think Arthur Smith thinks that he can get a couple more good years out of Matt Ryan and therefore wouldn't mind adding help to the offense, maybe Kyle Pitts, maybe an offensive lineman, rather than take a quarterback. Whereas you hear that the GM might prefer taking a quarterback. So I think there's a little infighting in that building. It'll be interesting to see which one wins out. If they do take quarterback, will it be Fields, the hometown kid, or will it be the project in Lance? And remember, they have time with Matt Ryan because of his contract and the way it's structured, that if it's Lance, he could take time. Because I think Lance, if you look at him, he reminds me of Steve McNair when he came in at Alcorn State. Big, strong, physical guy with a big arm, but we'll need seasoning and we'll need time. So maybe the Falcons can look at it and say, okay, we think this guy might have more upside than Fields. I don't agree with that, by the way, but they might think that and they could sit him behind Matt Ryan. I think in the end, I think the new coach will win out. I think they'll take a position player, and maybe it is Kyle Pitts. Although, I had a guy today in the league tell me this. If Kyle Pitts decided he was going to market himself as a wide receiver, he would be the first wide receiver taken. Think about that for a second. He said, because he put on 10 pounds, he got up to 245. But if he got that 10 pounds off, which he can easily do, and played at 235, they said he's Calvin Johnson. And he runs faster than Calvin Johnson. He's a better college receiver than Calvin Johnson was. So think about that. If he said, I'm a receiver, he might be the first receiver taken.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Crazy when you think about it. Of the true receivers, Pete, that we know the names that have been bandied about at the top end of the first round, whether it be Chase at LSU, Waddle, Alabama, Smith, Alabama, who do you think the best of the bunch is, but who do you think is the first off the board?
I think the best of the bunch will be the first one off the board, and I think it's Chase. I think he's the best receiver. He's the more NFL body type. I think he gives you that look, and it makes sense to go get him. So if I'm sitting there and this plays out, let's just say Atlanta does take a quarterback. You're sitting there at five, and you're the Falcons. I mean, and you're the Bengals. You have your choice of Pitts, one of those three receivers you just mentioned, and a tackle. So you're going to get a good player. You might be able to move down a couple picks for somebody that might want to go up and get the other quarterback. So it'll be an interesting situation if the Falcons pass on one of the position players and take a quarterback, where Cincinnati could move down a couple spots. Let's say Chicago's sitting there and they want to go up and maybe go get Justin Fields, or Denver wants to go up and get Justin Fields if he's the last guy, or if it's Trey Lance. Then I think Cincinnati's in a position where they can still get one of those players that they like and move down and get extra picks. But I think Chase is the best of the receivers. I think, you know, the other one between the other two Alabama guys comes down to preference. Do you want the Waddle kid who can, you know, be a factor in the return game just like Smith? Remember, Smith weighs 170 pounds. History says 170-pound wide receivers don't usually do that well in the NFL. You know, DeSean Jackson was the smallest one who did. But Smith was also a gunner on the punt team. That tells you he's got a little toughness to him. So I think all of them will be good. And, oh, by the way, this is a deep receiver class. You're going to get into 22, 23, 24 down, and there's going to be good, productive players at the receiver position.
Pete, I want to go back to the Cincinnati Bengals here as we try to like put the pieces together for the puzzle that is like the top 10 of the NFL draft for the upcoming prop bets, obviously under 3 weeks away. Cincinnati picking at number five. So let's assume, right, that you're correct and Atlanta doesn't go quarterback. They take a position player. Let's assume it's Kyle Pitts. But you know what? Maybe it's Jamar. It doesn't matter. If Cincinnati's on the clock at five and they have their choice between Penei Sewell, the big left tackle out of Oregon, or like Jamar Chase, you know, Burrow's college teammate at LSU, or Pitts, or like insert offensive player here, right, skilled position player, what do you think's more likely? That the Bengals go with the offensive lineman to keep Burrow upright, or they add another weapon for Burrow on the offense?
You know, you think about if it was Pitts sitting there. Remember, they drafted T. Higgins. He's a bigger receiver, and he had a pretty good year last year, a lot like Pitts. So I don't know if they would go in that direction looking at it from the receiving standpoint. They do need a tight end, so maybe if they decide to play tight end. See, here's the thing with Pitts. He doesn't play tight end. He doesn't block anybody. He's a receiver. That's basically what he is. But he's a weapon, and he's a mismatched nightmare. So I think if he's there, they could go into that direction. If he's not there, remember, they did sign, you know,
Riley Reiff to be a position player. He can play guard now, but they did sign him. So now they have options at tackle. So if they drafted Sewell, they move him to left tackle, move Williams to right tackle, move Reiff to guard, and all of a sudden your offensive line is better. So I think, knowing their history, I think they would lean to the offensive lineman.
Pete, any names out there? We're 3 weeks out, a little under from the NFL draft. Any names that you're hearing that fans should keep an eye on that are rising up draft boards as we speak?
Yeah, I'll give you a name. Jamin Davis from Tennessee, from Kentucky. Whew, you pop on his tape. Everybody loves Micah Parsons, the linebacker from Penn State. I think Jamin Davis is better. I think he's going to be a better NFL player. He's kind of raw, only started for 1 year. 6'3", 235, can run, can cover, had an 80-yard, I think it was 80-yard or 85-yard pick six against Tennessee. A outstanding playmaker, and I think he's a guy that's going to find himself in the first round and a guy who should find himself in the first round. The other guy is Asante Samuel. You know, all the cornerback rankings have Surtain one, which I agree with. I think he's one. But then you get down and you have a little disagreement. Is it J.C. Horn? Is it Caleb Farley? But the guy everybody's sleeping on is Asante Samuel Jr. He's a smaller corner. If he was 2 inches taller, he'd be a surefire first-round pick. But I think he goes in the first round as well.
And that makes me feel so old, by the way, that like two of the top corners in this draft are Asante Samuel and Patrick Surtain, or two guys I grew up watching. Obviously, it's their two kids. But, I mean, that's just like really insane. Pete, a prop bet that's going to get a lot of play on the NFL draft moving forward, right? Number of quarterbacks to be selected in the first round, and the total is 5.5. And if you want to bet the over, you obviously get good plus money, and the under, you'd have to lay some juice, right? Because there are five guys that we expect to go in the first round at the quarterback position. Is there another quarterback outside of the big five that you anticipate maybe sneaking his way into the top 32? Mills, Mond, anyone outside of the top five is over 5.5 quarterbacks round one worth a bet?
The only one I think could work himself into the first round would be Mills. And I'm a big Davis Mills guy. I think he's a prototypical stand in the pocket, throw the football quarterback. He went to Stanford as a huge recruit out of Georgia. Backed up KJ Costello for whatever reason, played six games last season because it was COVID, and had some really good games. And I think there's a ton of potential there and a ton of growth. And if you look at like Tampa Bay, if you're Tampa Bay and you're sitting there at 32, you fill basically all your needs. Now, you could be attracted to a big play running back if, say, Travis Etienne was there. If you imagine that, and him, that offense. Oh. But if you're sitting there and you say, hey, we got Brady for another couple of years, we need to get a young developmental quarterback to you know, come in behind him, Davis Mills would make some sense for a team like Tampa at the back end. But I'd probably lean to the under, Nick. As much as I like Davis Mills, he's probably going to go in the second round.
Pete, I got one final one for you. We got about 60 seconds here. First round talent that you look at, that you've watched the game film, that you were like, I would never touch regardless of need, that you think could be a massive bust?
Boy, that's a good question. I have more concerns about some of the top receivers maybe than others do. Rashad Bateman probably is one for me. And a lot of people think he's going to go in the first round. I know he timed well, but he didn't play to that speed. That's always a concern for me, is that, you know, do you play to your speed? And he doesn't. So I think Bateman would be one of them at the top. I'll tell you what, I think there's a guy that's, you know, I don't think Sewell's as good as everybody says he is. I think he's good, but I don't think there's a significant difference. I think Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech is going to be the best left tackle out of this group, including Slater from Northwestern. But I don't think, you know, Sewell is going to be the next Anthony Munoz. Let's just say that. I think he's going to be a good player.
Yeah. And that's what Brian Baldinger said with us on Thursday. Pete, we're out of time. Great stuff. Hit him up on Twitter at CrispoCBS, talking all things NFL draft. Take a quick break here on You Better, You Bet. And when we come back, we talk Major League Baseball with our friend Cody Decker. It's coming up next.
Download the Radio.com app today and listen to You Better, You Bet for all the latest in sports betting. This is the BetQL Audio Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.